These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Welcome to Kashi Tapes. I'm John Euler, along with Favaz.
Hi, John.
What's up, Fozzy? What, you freezing? What's going on over there?
No, I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Hey, we got an interview here that you and I did together back in 2020, November of 2020, so a little over a year ago.
Yeah, two years ago,
with Steve Lukather, great guitar player for the band Toto.
Yeah, not only that, but he has played on just about everybody's records that's been around. He's a great studio player, and I think he holds the record for appearances on other people's songs.
Oh, yeah, he may. Yeah. And he's going to talk in here about something that he and other guys in the band Toto were involved in that might blow your mind.
Yeah.
Okay? So stick around for the entire interview. Don't hit that pause
stop button.
Yeah, or whatever you do on podcasts. All right, so here we go.
All right, guys, you are here with Steve whenever you're ready.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. This is John Hewlett and Favaz at Kashi Radio in St. Louis. Nice to talk to you.
Kashi, man. I remember Kashi, man, our first tour, man. I remember the little pig logo. Loved it.
You remember that?
Sure I do, man. Well, you guys promoted some of our first shows in 78.
Yeah.
All right, guys, you are here with Steve whenever you're ready.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. This is John Hewlett and Favaz at Kashi Radio in St. Louis. Nice to talk to you.
Kashi, man. I remember Kashi, man, our first tour, man. I remember the little pig logo. Loved it.
You remember that?
Sure I do, man. Well, you guys promoted some of our first shows in 78.
Yeah. Well, 78. I don't know about 78 because their first album came out in 78. But in 1979, they were a part of a February 14th Valentine's Day Massacre show that Kashi put on.
Hmm.
And they were at that show with Heart and some other bands that day. And after that, if you look at their tour schedule, and I have, I don't think they came back to St. Louis for decades.
All I know is it was really cool that he remembered Kashi right off the bat.
Yeah.
We didn't even get into the interview yet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You helped promote. I don't know how that is. You sponsored us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember I had a Kashi shirt. I love it. It was a red shirt with a big with a pig on it.
Remember, Steve, the pig had a doobie hanging out of his mouth, too. Do you remember that?
Well, you know, who knew it would be legal now?
Yeah,
I love the shirt. Everybody wanted the shirt. It was totally cool.
Yeah,
you guys are a staple. I'm glad you're still there.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, 53 years now. We've been the same format, same rock, FM rock format since the day one.
Excellent.
Yeah, and
excellent.
So what are the chances you still have that shirt?
Zero. I've moved and things get lost. You know, I wish maybe, who knows, it could be stuck in somewhere.
Not only was he a great guitar player, he is a great guitar player,
mm-hmm.
but he sang some of their big songs,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bowels of My Garage from way, way, way back or something, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things, those mysterious shirts and your favorite stuff that disappeared, and you don't know where it went, how it disappeared. It's just gone.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you always have one sock when it comes back.
Right. Yes, exactly.
When you're on the road, you always guaranteed to get one sock back.
Hell, that happens at home all the time. All right.
I mean, can you imagine living on the road every night? You're in a different place with your suitcase and your clothing, and it just must turn into a mess.
You know, the concert itself, when you're out there playing, that's the only time that you feel alive. Everything else is like, I'm in this room.
Yeah, they're just mundane and bored, it's a hard life.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking
I haven't been on the road in a long time, but geez, I miss it.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, you did it for such. And those guys went all over the world.
Yeah.
Toto was huge in Europe. I mean, gigantic in Europe. Whenever they'd go on long tours, most of the time would be in other countries instead of the United States.
Long
time and successfully, too. We're speaking with Steve Lukather. Steve was one of the original guys, of course, in Toto and had that tremendous run with Toto and is one of the great session musicians of all time in music history.
Oh, jeez.
You are, though, Steve. I know.
I had a great time doing all that. You know, back in the day when that's what it was. You know, you show up, you didn't know what you were going to be doing, who you were going to be playing with, who the artist was. And sometimes you never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
times, some of the best times of my life, and great players, great musicians, producers, engineers, studios, artists. It was just, every day was like, wow, cool, this is really fun.
Yeah, especially when and that first album was so successful and had so many great songs on it. And
yeah, man, I mean, we had it all. We were, you know, we were like the number one studio guys, and we had our own hit record. I mean, I don't think anybody else has ever done that, but we tried.
Yeah, you had two.
And, we were still doing it after all these years.
Yeah, you had two really big albums, the debut album and then Toto 4, both off the charts successful.
And, well, we've done quietly very well. We've done about 40 million records with all the records combined.
How about that, 40 million records, Toto?
So 3 billion streams almost. Not bad for a bunch of guys, quiet. You know, we just kind of like the tortoise and the hare. We were the tortoise. Here we are. We're still here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I know
they
you
tried to kill us, and I do mean that in every way.
They did, because the critics hated Toto when they came out.
Oh.
And just brutalized them.
That first record is just so good.
Yeah, yeah. Hold the line.
Yeah.
I'll supply the love.
Yep.
Georgie Porgy.
Yep, all of it. I do it on the seventh day.
Yeah.
You know, and yet we're still here. I mean, I've hung on to this dream, you know, with David Page. Ever since, you know, it's been 30 years since Jeff passed, so.
David Page was probably the main songwriter in the group.
Was he a singer, too?
Background vocals. No, the main singers were Bobby Kimball and then Steve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but Bobby Kimball probably sang a little more than Steve. Steve sang the ballads.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's weird enough to say, you know, but we're still keeping that alive.
Yeah.
I still love doing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I've gotten offers to do other things, you know.
Yeah.
But something keeps bringing me back to this. I think it's because we all worked on it so hard for so long.
Well, yeah, you got
and
something.
People still want to come see it and hear it. So if nobody showed up, we wouldn't do it. You know?
Yeah, you created something fantastic, and you just can't let it go, man. You got to take it to your grave with you. I mean, that's the way I would kind of look at it.
Pretty much going to take it to my grave with me, I'm pretty sure.
And plus, Steve, that Weezer cover certainly helped out last year or the year before when they covered Africa.
That wasn't the first one. That was just one of many. That one just took off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, it worked well for both people. So, I mean, what can I say? Nobody's cracking up at this stuff more than me.
Yeah. Weezer covered Africa?
Yeah, Africa. Yeah. I love that song.
Yeah.
I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
Really?
Really? This song, what? You know? But then again, it brought a lot of young people to see our show.
Exactly.
And they were surprised at what they saw. That we were a rock band. That we're not just the Africa band. But we have a little bit more.
Yeah, and they could do both. They could do the ballads, and they had great rock songs too.
Right. We knew that.
Yeah.
You knew that, but not everybody. Listen, you convert a casual fan. I mean, that's the idea, and that's really done well for us. So, for that reason alone, there was actually some girl that started a year-long campaign for Weezer to do that song.
That's right. Yeah. She did.
They finally relented.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Do you know that story?
I heard that through social media, she pleaded with Weezer to do that song, and they finally did, and then it became what it became. It was a huge hit for them, and I don't know much more than that.
Okay.
And now they got to live with it because it's a hit. Now they got to play it. If they are taking the piss out of us, the joke backfired on them.
Yeah. We're speaking with Steve Lucas. Of course, if you know about the recording industry and the music business, the money that gets made off that cover goes to the guy who wrote the song.
Right.
And that's, who wrote that? I don't have to double check on
Africa.
That. Which member of the band wrote Africa?
I'll look it up, John.
Yeah, probably David Page.
Okay.
Yeah. Of Toto and Steve, you're talking about this song and that song. I know you were in your early years. You said that you weren't very secure in writing music. You didn't think that was one of your strong points. But let me say this.
Next to David Page,
right?
Page kept barfing out the song after song. It was so good.
He kept barfing up.
He's right. He just kept coming up with them.
Okay, so Africa was written by David Page and Jeff Porcaro.
Oh, okay. Jeff Porcaro's passed away. He was the drummer in the band.
Right.
Who was also a drummer for Steely Dan and other bands. Well, he was a great session player.
You know, it's a little intimidating, you know. It's sort of like having a micro penis in the shower when everybody's taking a leak, you know. Or when everybody's taking...
Did you hear that?
A micro penis?
Yeah, you know, because David Page was coming up with all these songs, right? All these songs. So when you tried to write one, it was kind of like,
get a shower. You know, you're not real proud of that. You know?
Yeah, but, but
David actually like really encouraged me because he'd hear me goofing around with riffs on the piano or the guitar. He goes, "You should finish that.
Yeah,
come on, man, write some tunes."
That's funny.
Like, he really encouraged me more than anybody. And then once we started cutting my tunes, it was like, everybody started getting the writing fever because everybody realized, A, there's a lot of money in it. There used to be anyway.
Uh-huh.
And the other reason is just because of, it's a great creative outlet. Now, over the years, I've gotten really, really into it. And I've had the writing thing just comes easier to me every
Now. Who wrote the song Rosanna?
Would you like me to look that up, John?
Yeah, please look that up, too.
All right, Rosanna.
Yeah. But let me ask you a couple songs, because Georgie Porgy and 99 are still songs I play on my specialty classic show on Sundays, and you wrote those songs, and those were early on,
too. No, I didn't write them, but I sang them.
Oh, I thought you wrote both of those. Oh, he wrote both of those?
David Page wrote those.
David Page kept throwing them up, John. Yeah.
He kept barfing. He barfed up Rosanna, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, he's amazing. Oh, okay, you sang
them. I did sing them.
Oh, okay. Well, the big song that you did write is "I'll Be Over You."
Yeah.
Yes.
That and I won't hold you back.
I won't hold you back. Yes.
Those are mine.
Yeah. Now you got some new music coming out.
Yes, I do. Really happy about that. It's more of a live feel. You know, it was all cut live. I overdubbed the vocals same day.
He's a great interview, isn't he?
He's awesome.
The dude
I just saw him on YouTube, too. He was on a podcast, and he was talking about playing, doing a session work for Prince. Uh-huh. Prince never talked to him.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, yeah. He said it was great, but Prince never talked to him.
I saw Prince live doing something recently. Where the heck was that? Oh, gosh. It was on TV somewhere. And he was playing guitar. I think, I can't remember who else was on stage. Other rock stars were on stage with him. And Prince did? Yeah.
So was that the George Harrison thing where he went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Tom Petty was there?
Yes.
Danny Harrison?
Yeah.
Prince was killer.
Where was that? Was that on TV somewhere recently?
No. That's old.
Okay.
I mean, Tom Petty was still alive back then.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I couldn't believe the way he was handling guitar.
Jeff Lynne
was there? Jeff Lynne was there looking at him kind of like...
oh, my God, this guy.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
Made a record in 8 days.
Wow.
And Joseph made a great, brilliant... He spent a lot of time on his record, man. This is a brilliant piece of work.
Joseph Williams.
Out the same day, same label. So we were
Joseph Williams, I think, is the guy who sings for him now instead of Bobby Kimball.
Since we were together anyway, so our agents go, "Look, use the name Toto. You've paid all this money for it. Now, why don't you make your money back? You're always you're pissing and moaning about the bills. Pay the lawyer bills with some Toto money. And I still got to pay the widows of the guys that aren't with us anymore,
who
remarried incredibly wealthy men, but that's okay."
You know? Oh, wow.
Ooh,
yes.
That was a little shot there.
Yeah, they married wealthy guys, but they still want money from the Toto royalties.
Right, you're doing business.
Your record will be out at the end of February. Steve, let me ask you real quick about your session work. Do you hold the record for sessions playing guitar for other people?
I give that to Tommy Tedesco or somebody who was in the Wrecking Crew way back in the day, the granddaddy of them all, who did all the movie dates and all that. There's a handful of guys, man. You know, I mean, I'm lucky to be, to have made the cut, to have it.
Very modest.
Yeah.
He is very, very modest.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got a lot to brag about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he could say that he did this and worked with this and...
Yeah.
At least at one point in my life, been one of the ace, the number one call.
Yeah, how about Michael Jackson?
It's one of those childhood dreams. You never really think it's going to happen. It all happens, you know.
Yeah. What about playing?
I've had a lot of those. I mean, winning Album of the Year and, in 83. I mean, those are some pretty, milestone getting invited into the Musicians Hall of Fame.
Well, sounds like he's drunk at times, doesn't he?
Kind of, but I'm sure he's partied. I mean, he's led the life.
Got a little Joe Walsh in him.
Yeah.
In Nashville, which is really hard.
Cause all
the only people that vote are musicians.
How cool was it to play with Michael Jackson? How'd you get that gig?
Great.
Did
it a bunch, And he was really cool. He used to hang out at Page's house all the time. He used to come hide.
Huh.
David Page's house.
He was always really good to us. He was always really nice to us. I mean, I was the same age as him. So, I mean, you know, I'm a silly dude, you know, but I didn't really, we weren't like really buddy buddies, you know. I mean, if I, it was like, hey, Michael, how's it going? You know, yeah, great. I like that part. You know?
he does the voice.
We weren't like hanging out after hours, you know.
Yeah. Well, you played acoustic guitar on "Beat It," and Eddie Van Halen played the.
I played everything on that record except for the solo.
Ah, you did.
Yeah. So you played
everything, bass, all the guitar parts. Jeff Ficarra played drums, but I did like "Human Nature."
So he's saying that. Eddie Van Halen didn't play?
Yes, he said Eddie Van Halen did the solo. He did everything else.
Oh, everything else, okay.
Which is basically a Toto song with Michael singing.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
then we did the McCartney duet. That was the first thing we did. But no, "Beat It" was just, me and Jeff Ficarra had to remake that record because they had done another version of it. And Eddie Van Halen cut the 2-inch tapes. You know, somebody in Eddie's camp cut the 2-inch tape and made it impossible for them to sync back up because it was tape and you needed... Symptico is generated.
Huh. Gotta go, guys.
We got the warning from the guy.
Listen.
Lose everybody with the tech talk.
That's all right. But you and Eddie weren't in the studio together to do that?
No. It was we actually put it together afterwards. Eddie and Michael's lead vocal was done because, I said, there was a technical error.
Okay.
But you know, Ed and I had been friends for a long time before that anyway.
Yeah.
We met in the 70s.
Okay, Steve, thank you for being with us. Steve Lukather of Toto. You know, it was a Toto member from St. Louis, David Hungate.
Yes, sir. Hungus is great, man.
Yeah. Well, you take care.
Hungus is great, too.
Thank you for giving us some time today, okay?
You got it, mate. I'll talk to you later.
Case 95. Right. Find that T-shirt.
I got to find that, yeah, for sure.
Oh, there you go.
Hungus. He called him Hungus.
Hungus.
David Hungate. Yeah, Hungus is great.
Yeah, David Hungate's father, William Hungate, was a district judge, a federal judge.
Yeah, I remember him.
In the Eastern District of Missouri, which
and
is a pretty big job.
And his son was in Toto?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, his son moved out to Los Angeles, David Hungate, and was in Toto, and was a session player out there, like they all were before this band started. And, you know, they didn't have to do all the club dates and all that kind of stuff. They got their record deal with Columbia because of their skills as session musicians.
Yes, they did.
And they went right into the big time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good for them.
Yeah. All right. I hope you enjoyed that with Steve Lukather of Toto. I'm John Hewlett. Follow me on Instagram. I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Hey, AMF.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.